Remember your baptism. Remember your baptism. In a little while, by the way, I am going to suggest that if anyone has a story to tell about their own baptism, could you be bold enough to perhaps share just a bit of it? Be thinking as I continue. Remember your baptism. Of course, for many of us, this baptism happened very quickly. We may have prepared and gone through classes, and then it was over and done. We put on some special clothes, perhaps, and we walked up the steps and down the steps into the baptismal pond. And we went beneath the water, for brethren, three times forward. Perhaps that is not you. And it happened so very quickly. Do you remember it? Remember your baptism. Of course, for some of us in this room, that may not be something that we were really conscious of at the time. That is only something that we confirmed later on in our lives. Because it was our parents that did this. For we come from traditions a bit different from this particular denomination. Remember your baptism. Of course, you know, remembering your baptism is a little bit different from, well, those instant replays that we watched a lot of yesterday, over and over, to make sure that the ball was not dropped on a particular catch. That's not what I mean about remembering your baptism, because if the truth be told, all of us have dropped the ball. You know I'm not talking about football here, don't you? All of us dropped the ball leading up to it. I know I did. And after I was baptized, there have been plenty of times that I have dropped the ball. But still, it goes on. Perhaps what we remember is not so much the event itself, though that may stick out for us like a kind of a blazing fire. Perhaps the flame has more to do with the effect of that baptism. As we stepped out of that water and into what the gospel describes as a new life, a life that isn't just about believing, it is about doing. The implications of baptism are about our very living and not just our thinking. The thinking is important. Now, with my class of young people preparing for baptism, and I hope you're listening, Beth, we talked this Monday about repentance, because John the Baptist came calling people to repent. And Beth, what does repent mean? Do you remember? What does it mean? To turn. Now, when John the Baptist called people to repent, he did not mean that people were supposed to beat themselves down. When he called them a brood of vipers, those were his words, you know. When he called them a brood of vipers, he wasn't wanting people to think of themselves as just a bunch of snakes. He was calling them to turn. And that turning is something that we're about our entire life. It's not just that we turn from the things that pull us away from God and move as we turn and start walking in God's direction, that is it. And once we step into the water, then, that, well, we've done it. We have crossed the finish line, touchdown, and we can do the Ray Lewis dance. No, he doesn't do touchdowns. No. Baptism is the starting line, correct? And repentance or turning is something that we are about each and every day. And I don't know about you, I said earlier that I have dropped the ball so many times. Yesterday, you know, I was conscious of this morning as I was doing my walk. I dropped the ball a couple times. Yesterday, I recall twice, not once, but twice, really thinking the worst of people in a couple of different situations. And my thoughts were not right, as it turned out. And I needed to repent from that. For in my own heart, I had sinned against these people. Repentance is something we do every day, and it involves our very actions. In fact, if we were listening to the verses leading up to what I just read, you had the people responding to John the Baptist's invitation, well, his really fiery call, saying, "What then should we do?" And John was laying it out, saying, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." And there were tax collectors asking the same question. He said, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed to you." And he said to the soldiers, "Don't extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages." He probably was saying left and right to people, how does this affect our lives? What does repenting mean? How is it living out? And it's something that takes a lifetime to do. And it involves not just our brains, but our bodies, as we embody the good news that we proclaim. Now, okay. We had this morning from Luke's gospel the remembrance of Jesus' own baptism. A very, you know, very brief encounter. And there's pretty dramatic there. It's remembered a little bit differently in the different gospels. But he himself entered the water, and then there was a time during the prayer, and you sort of wonder whether is this actually happening, or is this how people were perceiving, or what? But, you know, it talks about heavens being opened and a dove descending and the voice of God. I talked with our kids preparing for baptism about how the Word, we call the Bible God's Word, but the Word is something that is the very voice of God, and we have to have that sense as we listen, and here is the very voice of God speaking, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." That must have had an impact upon God's people as they remembered. Otherwise, it would not have been included in Luke's gospel. Okay, I said I wanted to open it up to you, for you to share, anyone willing to talk about their own baptism, or, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, super, you know, I asked you if you wanted, and he says, "You don't want to hear about my baptism." You will? Okay, good. Let's make sure we're on here. Okay.
When I said that, yes, there's details about my physical baptism that I don't get into. When I was baptized, I think I was 11 or 12, and it was a traditional physical member of the Church of the Brethren baptism that was expected, and we did it. But I don't think my true spiritual baptism didn't occur until later in life. And I can't really say when it did, or but there certainly is two different baptisms in my mind.
Okay.
So my spiritual true baptism occurred later in life.
Okay. Well, as we heard from that portion of Scripture from Acts, for those people in Samaria, you know, the coming of the Holy Spirit didn't happen until later. Okay. I see a hand here, and then I'll come down here.
Good morning. My baptism happened on my 12th birthday, June 25th, 1948. And the good thing about that, my lovely wife was baptized with me at the same day. I think there was 13 of us. We were baptized in the Harmon, West Virginia, Dry Fork River. The reverend that did it was Reverend Ellsworth Harmon. And he put me a lot in the mind of Brother Carl Simmons, his build and his delivery on his sermons. But anyhow, he led us into the river, and we were submerged three times. And that was my experience.
Okay. And you didn't know on that day that someday you would be...
No, until we joined the church here that we both was baptized the same day.
Until you joined here? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Jane, you said you wanted to share something.
I was baptized December 1931. I was 3 months old.
Okay.
And when I was 12, I was confirmed. And I went by all the lessons of everything of the other church. But when I come here, I think I really knew what it was, baptizing.
Okay. Okay. Norman.
I was about 9 or 10 years old when I was baptized. And they had had an evangelist meeting, or whatever you call them. It went on for a week. And this was in the old church. And at the end of the evangelist thing, they wanted to know if there was anybody who wanted to be baptized, and I raised my hand and walked to the front of the church. And then my baptism was in Priggle Stream. They took us down there with Doc, Reverend Roop, and Reverend Priggle did the baptism, but Roop was there. He was the one that had run the evangelist meeting.
Okay. And I have heard that Roop was a fiery preacher.
Yes, he was.
Anyone else? Daniel? Can we stretch?
I was very old, apparently. I was 14. I believe, June 9th, June 30th, something like that, 2001. I remember the actual day of the baptism because it was here. But I don't remember like the actual motion of it. I remember more the community surrounding it. I remember feeling that this is the first time that I felt so close to the youth group that I had at the time, and that I was actually a part of the church that I'd been going to for, you know, 12 years. And that, I think, was even more of an awesome feeling than the physical activity of being baptized, just feeling like part of the community.
And that lifts up how baptism is an entrance into the body of Christ, into a community of faith. We aren't lone rangers at this. Ellis.
I was baptized near my 12th birthday, as I recall, only it was in the middle of winter, and they baptized outside. And it happened to be that they sort of shopped around for places to baptize. It happened to be in our cow pasture, where my father dammed up a little bit of the stream so that we get down there and be baptized. I think there were about three of us who were baptized then. I remember it was cold. I don't remember much else.
I was wondering if we'd have anybody sharing about a winter baptism. You know, the first baptism of brethren in the United States was when? Anybody remember? Christmas Day. Talk about cold. Breaking the ice. Anyone else? Well, my brothers and sisters, this isn't replaying to see whether we dropped the ball or not. But this is remembering. You know, in a couple weeks, we will be remembering Christ's death until he comes in the act of communion. And I often think about that remembering by breaking apart the word re and member and saying that again, as we ponder and think and remember that Christ is yet again a member of us, is in our midst. Thank you for sharing your experience. Know that baptism is something that did not end when you stepped out of the water, no matter how cold it was. Baptism is something we are to relive every day of our lives.